Chapter 1. Origins. The era was the 1950s, a happy time, a rockin' and rollin' time. Although I was born later in the decade, the mood lingered. Front page news headlines displayed such titles as President Eisenhower sworn into office for second term, Eisenhower signed Civil Rights Act of 1957, USSR sends Sputnik into space, and interferon is discovered. Do you remember this stuff? I don't. How about trends of poodle haircuts, black and white saddle shoes, silly putty and hula hoops? Althea Gibson was the first African-American woman to win the U.S. Open tennis title, while Dan Bowden was the first U.S. runner to break the four-minute mile. Top tunes were A White Sport Coat and a Pink Carnation, All Shook Up, Jailhouse Rock, Lucille, and Love Letters in the Sand. The most popular television shows in black and white were Wagon Train, Maverick, Leave It to Beaver, and Perry Mason. Movie stars such as Jerry Lewis, Rock Hudson, John Wayne, Elvis Presley, and Yul Brynner were the cat's meow. Jerry Lewis still is. Furthermore, it was in 1957 that New York loses Giants and Dodgers to California. The Music Man opened in Broadway. DNA is synthesized. Drive-in movies peak to popularity. A new Ford cost $2,045. And a factory worker earned $2 an hour. All here in the good old United States. No, I don't remember all these facts. The ones I do remember were always shared while my mother was present, usually while she ironed as the black and white television played. Born to a United States naval chief and a promising fashion designer seamstress in Portsmouth, Virginia, my mother gave up her career to concentrate on the specialties needed to assist her second of three children at the time. The year was 1957, and the United States Navy needed my father to concentrate on his assignments, always leaving his young wife to care for their children, alone, for weeks on end. As thinly related to me, my father was born to German immigrants. It wasn't until the mid-1980s that I learned from my father's elderly cousins, whom emigrated to Canada, that Estonia was the paternal family's country of origin. With the ensuing communist controversy at that time, it seems that the country of Estonia was back and forth trying to maintain its own identity while being subjected to the captive auspices of Germany. These specific cousins literally and physically ran away from the horrors that took place in the early 20th century. I recall being told that my father's father was a Lutheran minister who captivated audiences in Boston Common. His name was Frederick Buchroth. I know even less about his mother, my paternal grandmother, Lydia, other than the sketchy fact that they resided in Hyde Park, Massachusetts, after a move from Chicago, Illinois. That is where my father was born. No one was available to embellish or encourage this ancestry. My paternal genealogy never went much farther than that in my imagination. However, Lydia remarried a wonderful man by the name of John Underhill, who became known to me and my siblings as Jodzi, short for Jodek, Polish for grandfather. My mother, however, was the fifth child of six siblings born to Polish immigrants. Her demeanor remained strong, foolproof, and very Catholic, which seems to be typical of that ethnicity. After their sojourn to the United States via the infamous Ellis Island, New York State, my maternal grandparents, Mary and Alexander, were greeted a new beginning, also in the very early 20th century. From what I am to understand, this couple met in Massachusetts, married, toiled New England, raised six children, and died. You'll become somewhat acquainted with my Polish-American upbringing as this story continues. As told to me years later, Mom was in tears too often due to my sickness. That's the way it was. Father breadwinner through the government, mother caretaker and housewife, children, Navy brats. Not glamorous by any means, diabetes requires change in extra monetary allotments, often at the expense of tangibles as well as intangibles. As all couples of the time, my parents did what they had to do, what they could. They were one couple among thousands embedded in the income status as military poor. Stationed in Portsmouth, Norfolk County, Virginia at the time, our humble trailer home was filled with five, two parents and three children. My brother, Charles, was born then and there as well. As told to me many years later by my father, a Navy chief, I was named after the glamorous ocean liner, the Andrea Doria. It seems perfectly befitting my life. A short story follows. It was Wednesday, July 25th, 1956. At 11:10 p.m., on a dark and foggy night, two great ocean liners, TN Andrea Doria and MV Stockholm, collided near Nantucket, Massachusetts. I was there. I am a survivor. My name is Anthony Grillo. After seeing the movie The Perfect Storm numerous times, I can't help but wonder if there are any Andrea Gales out there. It's a New England thing. This diabetes diagnosis in 1959 was due to Mom's suspicions of my daily activities. While a surge of energy to climb the kitchen counter, invading the cookie jar, followed with an immense thirst for anything drinkable, to napping wherever and whenever, led her to bring me to the Naval Hospital's emergency room. Hospitalized for 7 days, I lapsed into a coma for approximately 24 hours. I just must have been exhausted. All that climbing, you know. I can only imagine my parents' anguish. I was 2 years old. What did I know? What did they know? I certainly have no recollections of my first insulin injections or my first use of Clinitest tablets for glucose urine testing at that time, nor scheduled and balanced meal planning, nor the tears my mother shed in her attempts to keep her baby healthy and alive. I can only imagine the heartbreak and fright. Where did this come from? How did my daughter get this? She would continually ask many physicians. Many of you, dear readers, know the same. On and on and on. To this day, those questions continue unanswered. Too many theories have been born. I grew up with the speculation that diabetes was genetic. However, my grandparents were unaffected. The same with the aunts and uncles we were aware of during my first cousins, except for a first cousin on my mother's side of the family, Barbara Jean. As told to me, this first maternal cousin was diagnosed with diabetes at the age of 24 or 25 somewhere in the late 1970s, as I recall. Before it became popular, I became acquainted with the possibility that stress, believe it or not, had something to do with the development of this disease in our family. I theorize that stress put upon my mother during her pregnancy with me may have been the cause, not neglecting the fact of my father's possible alcoholism. Anguish is the best word I can use to describe my parents' feelings at the onslaught of this news. One of many stories my mother tells me is when she attempted to give me an insulin injection. "Don't cry, Mommy," from the mouth of this 2-year-old. "It will be okay." And this became the first of many, many other shots until I learned how to do it myself. Therefore, insulin introductions to our family became quickly absorbed, as in being accepted. It became a necessity as water sustains life. From my mother's recollections, my first type of insulin was called Lente, known as intermediate-acting insulin. It covers insulin needs for about half the day or overnight. This type of insulin is often combined with rapid or short-acting insulin. How does a doctor-physician choose which insulin would be the best for a patient, never mind a child patient? I honestly do not know. I think it is a hit-or-miss, experimental type of choice with the attitude of, let's put you on this one, or try this one and see if it works for you. Going down the list, beginning with Humalog, I was prescribed this brand in the mid-90s. It made me physically and mentally ill. This was the ultimate reason that I purchased an insulin pump through the serious and frightening complication that I was literally going insane because of this disease. My personal experiences with the insulin pump are extravagantly explained in upcoming pages. Apidra is my present insulin with the insulin pump. As I was told, it is manufactured with a buffer so as not to clog the infusion set tubing. Yes, I know, manufactured means man-made. The regular and NPH types were used by me together during my late teens to the late 30s. It was quite an art to accomplishing the measuring and mixing of separate insulins in specific micrometer units to then inject in your own body. To this day, I have a sense of pride in being able to perform this so-called chore. Humalog was a type of insulin that my sister Gina used. Yes, we are a family of multi-diabetics, also explained further on. She was allergic to it. At the time, I had never heard of a person being allergic to insulin. However, I have heard about some instances since her demise. For personal reasons, I wanted to know the ingredients of the insulin I use. Inside each and every prepackaged box of any and every insulin that I have ever been familiar with are sheets of finely printed pages, usually two, that are not and never have been reader-friendly, at least to me. Right at the beginning of one sheet, it reads, Insulin Aspart DNA Origin Injection. What the heck is that? Not specific in its definition. Once again, I found my answer through simple internet research. What is insulin aspart and insulin aspart protamine? Insulin is a hormone that is produced in the body. It works by lowering levels of glucose, sugar, in the blood. Insulin aspart and insulin aspart protamine is a faster-acting form of insulin than regular human insulin. Insulin aspart and insulin aspart protamine is used to treat type 1, insulin-dependent, diabetes in adults. Insulin aspart and insulin aspart protamine may also be used for other purposes not listed. What is the most important information I should know about insulin aspart and insulin aspart protamine? Insulin aspart and insulin aspart protamine are fast-acting insulins that begin to work very quickly. After using it, you should eat a meal right away. Take care to keep your blood sugar from getting too low, causing hypoglycemia. Symptoms of low blood sugar, also known as hypoglycemia, may include but are not limited to a headache, feelings of nausea, hunger, confusion, drowsiness, weakness, dizziness, blurred vision, fast heartbeat, sweating, tremor, and/or trouble concentrating. Carry a piece of non-dietetic hard candy or glucose tablets with you in case you have low blood sugar. Also, be sure your family and close friends know how to help you in an emergency. Also, watch for signs of blood sugar that is too high, hyperglycemia. These symptoms include increased thirst, loss of appetite, increased urination, nausea, vomiting, drowsiness, dry skin, and dry mouth. Check your blood sugar levels and ask your doctor how to adjust your insulin doses if needed. Insulin aspart and insulin aspart protamine is only part of a complete program of treatment that may also include diet, exercise, weight control, foot care, eye care, dental care, and testing your blood sugar. Follow your diet, medication, and exercise routines very closely. Changing any of these factors can affect your blood sugar levels. What should I discuss with my healthcare provider before using insulin aspart and insulin aspart protamine? Do not use this medication if you are allergic to insulin or if you are having an episode of hypoglycemia, low blood sugar. Before using insulin aspart and insulin aspart protamine, tell your doctor if you have liver disease, kidney disease, or a nerve disorder. This medication is only part of a complete program of treatment that may also include diet, exercise, weight control, foot care, eye care, dental care, and testing your blood sugar. Follow your diet, medication, and exercise routines very closely. Changing any of these factors can affect your blood sugar levels. Your doctor will need to check your progress on a regular basis. Do not miss any scheduled appointments. Although this description and definition does not answer my question, this is the best I could find through my personal research at this time. I have been under the impression that Novolog is man-made, which leaves me feeling a bit quizzical due to my naturalness. Sure, it works, and it works well. However, just as pills are manufactured, unnatural, long-term and unnatural effects are not expressed. Returning to the top of my initial care when first diagnosed in 1959, I had to continue to use the potty seat. In fact, I continued to have to use a variety of potty seats until I was 15 years old. Who knew? This was the easiest way to collect urine for absolute necessary testing for glucose 4 times a day. However, due to school hours, it was done twice a day. I used what is known as a clinitest kit that was stored in the bathroom medicine cabinet. It smelled funny, horribly bad, and distinctive. 5 drops of urine with 10 drops of water in a glass tube. Drop in a tablet and watch it fizz, fizz, fizz as it turned colors. Colors from bright blue, timid green, bright orange, or burning orange were displayed. Either of these colors indicated the level of glucose, sugar, in my bloodstream, albeit through my urine. Yellow and orange gave the impression that the glucose level was high, whereas green and blue were good, implying that the glucose level was low. The process was very scary to see as a child, and I certainly never ever want to touch one of those tablets, afraid it would burn me. Yes, quite old, albeit historic, compared to the machination processes of today. In my mind, yellow and orange signified bad colors. This meant I did something wrong. Maybe I ate too much, or maybe I ate something I wasn't supposed to eat. Those colors told me something was wrong with my body, my diabetes. Did I have an infection? Was my body giving me a signal for something? Fear. Fear introduced itself to me before I even knew what fear was. For example, when Coco, our dog, bit my thumb while playing in the backyard with my older sister, my mother got so frightened. I was perhaps 3 years old. "Infection, infection," she cried. Her reaction and actions taken meant a severe scrubbing to get the germs out, you know, and then a dousing with methylate. Gosh, that stung. Methylate and I became very well acquainted throughout my childhood. I don't know if it is sold any longer, but then again, I haven't looked for it either. Don't want to. Gosh, the anxiety, the stress. Unbeknownst to the general public at the time, stress was not recognized in children. Children didn't get stressed out, supposedly. As a diabetic child, I have come to realize that stress does, in fact, offset my glucose readings, making them high. There is no other explanation. For example, the stress of a school bully, being bitten by my dog, or being scolded would upset my person, therefore my blood sugars. Sensitive, sensitive, sensitive. And so that was the last of Coco. I recall him or her being a blonde or light brown-colored dog, perhaps a golden retriever or a mastiff pit bull of sorts. I just knew that Daddy put him or her in his car, making Coco a vague memory for me. This incident was blamed for my fear of dogs that continued until long into my adulthood. Ironically, as for the Clinitest testing procedure, the colors yellow and orange are my favorite colors to this day. This type of testing, the only type available at the time, in order to monitor glucose levels through urine, would continue for many years to come.